This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This is The Morning Run, and you're here with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. It's 7:17 in the morning, Monday the 3rd of May, and it is World Press Freedom today. So to mark that, in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Dato' Akhiruddin Athan, president of the National Press Club, on the state of media freedom in Malaysia. We're also running a poll on Twitter at BFM Radio, asking you how much do you trust Malaysian media? We have had actually quite a number of votes already so far. Oh, Roshan, why don't you take us through that very quickly?
With 113 votes in, about 20 minutes into the poll, 4.5% say they highly trust Malaysian media, 39% say somewhat, 36% say not really, and 20% say not at all.
Do continue to let us know what you think about that on the Twitter account. But in the meantime, we are looking at corporate governance, because last week the Securities Commission of Malaysia issued an update of the Malaysian Code on Corporate Governance. The 2021 update focused on, among others, board policies and practices on the selection and nomination processes and criteria for directors, as well as further guidance for practices with low levels of adoption, as reported in the SC's annual Corporate Governance Monitor reports. So, of course, the question is, how will these updates and guidance affect the corporate landscape of Malaysia? And for more on this, we're speaking this morning with Azmir Zain, a private investment director and frequent commentator on corporate governance. He was also formerly with the Malaysian Aviation Commission and Khazanah Nasional. Good morning, Azmir. Thanks for joining us today. Now, the updated guidelines largely focus on issues related to board policies and practices, the 30% goal for female directors, and sustainability. What else do you feel should have been added to the update?
Hello, hi there. Good morning, everyone. So I think maybe it's worthwhile for me to mention at the outset that the board is the primary body to steward a company, who will look to ensure that the company pursues long-term shareholder value and also protect the interests of all shareholders. And that would include minority shareholders. So I think it's entirely appropriate that the SC ensures that the MCCG focuses on getting the board set up right. So as far as the new updated MCCG, which came out last week, you've already mentioned some new additions. Now, can the MCCG go a bit further? Quite possibly, I would think. So for starters, I personally would have wanted to see more disclosure requirements on how senior management incentives are pegged towards long-term objectives of the company, seeing as long-term shareholder values and value and short-term financial gains tend to be competing forces for boards and management of companies. And maybe the second thing that I'd have preferred to see, now seeing as the country really is going through a crisis of sorts when it comes to matters of related to corruption and matters of integrity, I'd have preferred for the MCCG to also contain more explicit provisions that address corruption and possible lapses in integrity amongst its board members. So, for example, if, let's say, board members are under investigation by the MACC, I think annual report should go ahead and disclose that fact and even disclose what steps the board has taken on the board member up to and until the conclusion of those investigations. So I think provisions such as that related to matters of corruption and lapses of integrity would have been something that I personally would have preferred to see as well.
So the role of the chairman is made more neutral now by removing them from the audit, remuneration and nomination committees. In your experience, what effect will this really have on the public listed company?
Sure. So I guess the main principle at work here is this. Now, the main board itself, they're tasked to review and endorse the decisions of board committees, such as the audit committee, nomination committee, and so on. Now, so if the chairman of the board sits on one of these committees, their objectivity may be compromised when those committee matters get raised up to the main board. So I suspect how this new provision will affect companies. I suspect they will affect mainly the smaller listed companies who would have smaller boards and therefore a smaller number of independent directors. So for instance, if there is a 5-man board, that presumably be 3 independent directors, one of whom would be the chairman, and the 3 independent directors between them would be represented on the various committees. So I suspect what's going to happen is that with the introduction of this new provision, smaller companies will need to increase the size of their boards, particularly the number of independent directors. But what that means is it's going to be a slightly higher cost to the company, of course, but I reckon it's a small price to pay for enhanced governance and investor peace of mind, really.
Now, the SEA has also discouraged public listed companies from appointing active politicians to their board of directors. Is discouraging useful enough of a deterrence in this case?
Sure. Well, the thing is, I guess the politicians who have been appointed to the listed companies have been appointed by the government. So whether this provision is going to be enough of a deterrent, it really depends on how seriously our government, Ministry of Finance, takes the MCCG seriously. And in fact, I will also go on to say, it really depends on how the government takes attracting investments in Malaysia seriously. Now, if they do take the MCCG seriously, I would think the cadre of politicians who today sit on listed companies, and indeed statutory agencies for that matter, really ought to be moved on from these boards immediately. Now, I guess the question is, should this provision actually be made mandatory instead of merely being discouraged? Now, personally, I think there really ought to be a certain minimum standard which investors should be entitled to expect from board compositions. So I mentioned just now that I'd be supportive of provisions which address instances of possible corruption and securities fraud, for instance. On the same token, I would also favour making mandatory that active politicians on both sides of the parliamentary aisle do not sit on boards of listed companies and statutory agencies, for that matter. I would also probably add now that if investors are unhappy enough for an active politician to continue on being on the boards of listed companies, these investors actually have the option of not investing in these companies. Or if not, they have the option of voicing out their displeasure at shareholders' meetings. And I think by doing so, it really would send a more strengthened message to the government, to the MOF perhaps, or whoever it is that makes these decisions, especially during these times when Malaysia is looking for investments.
But is this enough to encourage independent judgment in the long term? I mean, there's nothing really to stop relatives of active politicians being appointed instead, and politicians are still also allowed to be major shareholders of companies at this time.
Yeah, fair enough. Now it's true. I mean, there's so much which a regulator or so much which the SC can do to police or regulate against all such scenario. But it's probably worthwhile to raise up that the entire investment ecosystem here also has a role to play. So investors, like I mentioned earlier, they can choose not to invest, or they can choose to voice out their concerns, their displeasure at shareholder meetings. So, I mean, quite frankly, I would even go on to say that the investors themselves potentially are complicit if they are prepared to tolerate politicians or family members of politicians being on board. So really, shareholders and investors have a big role to play here.
Now, of course, the key challenge will be compliance. Given the large number of founding chairmen, etc., how can the SC effectively ensure that public sector companies in Malaysia adhere to these guidelines?
I guess the difficulty which any regulator would have, including the SC, I would hazard to guess, is that for them to enforce the MCCG across the close to 1,000 public listed companies in Malaysia would be a very sizable task, and it would involve some evaluation of cost efficiency on the part of the regulator, whether they would need to evaluate whether it's necessary to build up a large enforcement force. Now, if I could go back to the investment ecosystem, I personally reckon that the single most powerful tool to ensure compliance of good corporate governance in Malaysia actually resides with the investors themselves. So if they can incorporate within their investment decision-making questions relating to governance, I mean, ESG is a very big thing now, I think that would actually go a long way towards furthering the development of corporate governance in Malaysia. So if I could raise an example, I mean, BlackRock at the last Top Glove AGM actually voted against the re-election of existing independent directors. So I think that's an example of how a shareholder can play an active role here.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning, Azmir. That was Azmir Zain, a private investment director and frequent commentator on corporate governance. He was also formerly with the Malaysian Aviation Commission as well as Khazanah Nasional, making a couple of good points. And at the end, they're pointing as well to examples of shareholder activism that we have seen in the past couple of months as a way to get companies to change their tune.
Yeah, so some of the improvements or updates, they're quite good. I think they really strengthen the chairman's independent role. But I think, like him, I like to see more emphasis on sustainability, for example, disclosure of climate-related risks, instead of just, you know, a passing statements, which is quite often among companies.
So we'll have to keep a close watch on this to see how well this is implemented as well. But right now, we're about to head into the 7:30 News Bulletin, and then up next, discussing the regional outlook for 5G with Janice Chong, Senior Director of Fitch Ratings. Stay tuned for that. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.